On this episode, we're exploring the mind-body connection. It's time for part two of my conversation with the lovely Kimmy Dawn. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Think Outside the Lines podcast. Practical solutions and ideas for designing the life you want with an added dose of inspiration. And now, here's your host, Sean Feeney.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Think Outside the Lines podcast, where every week I talk to people who are out there designing the lives of their dreams. It's my belief that if they can do it, so can you. And these conversations are meant to inspire you to take action and pursue the life you've always wanted to live. I'm Sean, and you can find me over at thinkoutsidethelines.com, where we explore these ideas further. Now, I want to say a quick thank you to everyone listening. You probably won't hear me talk about stats too much regarding the show, but we hit a pretty cool milestone this week. The Think Outside the Lines podcast has been streamed and downloaded more than 25,000 times. Now, for a little podcast that didn't exist a few months ago, I'm pretty amazed by that number. And there are people listening right now in more than 70 countries, which is almost too crazy for me to wrap my brain around. So I will just say thank you and tell you that I'm incredibly grateful for all of the support. And I can promise that we have some pretty cool guests who will be sharing their stories in the weeks to come. So stay tuned. Now, if you're enjoying the show, I would love if you'd head over to iTunes and click on the subscribe button. And while you're there, if you could take a moment to leave a quick review, it helps my show out a lot. Now, we've also set up a new Facebook group for those who want to engage with like-minded people who are out there pursuing their goals. It's free to join the group. Just head over to thinkoutsidethelines.com/Facebook. Now, if you've been listening to the show from the beginning, you'll probably recognize my guest today. Her first interview is one of my highest rated episodes thus far, and I received countless messages about how inspired you were by her story. She's back today to tell us more about the mind-body connection, and she's even going to walk us through a really cool guided meditation toward the end. I think you're going to love this episode. It's time for part two of my conversation with the lovely Kimmy Dawn. All right, Kimmy Dawn, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. I want to tell you something really quick. You are my second highest rated episode. I don't know if you knew that. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
It's pretty amazing, actually. It's pretty amazing. And I want to first and foremost say that you are one of the first people that let me interview them and support me. And I can't tell you how much that means to me, because I do think that, you know, support early on in a project that you're working on and having people that believe in you initially really is an amazing thing. And I want to thank you so much for that.
You're so welcome. But likewise, I mean, I feel like this is a very balanced exchange, because you and I both are so passionate about connecting people to their dreams or things that they didn't even believe were imaginable for themselves. And so I really feel like we're doing the work side by side. So it's an absolute honor.
Most definitely. I couldn't agree with that more. And just to let you know, too, I have received tons of texts and emails about your episode, which I knew was going to happen. I think, obviously, you're very likable and lovely, but I'm super grateful that you agreed to come back on the show today. So we had a chance to connect when you were in LA recently after the holidays.
Yes.
And I was actually, it was between Christmas and New Year's, or was it right before Christmas?
It was right before Christmas. I actually had a mini Christmas tree in my car because I was coming from my friend's house to Central California.
That's right. And you gave me the coolest ornament. I won't say where from.
I know. It's one of your most favorite places.
From one of my most favorite places.
And mine.
Totally. So I wanted you to come back on the show today because I wanted to dive a bit deeper into the connection between our mind and our body. And we touched upon this a little bit in your last episode. I'm not quite sure that enough people really understand what the mind-body connection is.
Sure. No, I agree. And in fact, it may even seem like it's more of a buzzword. I mean, I think it just simply suggests that the mind is another way of sensing. And along with that, it can be felt and experienced through the physical body. And so it's mental state, emotions, thoughts, attitude linked up with how the body energetically feels. And in fact, by definition, taking in account the physiological, psychic, and spiritual connections between the state of the mind and that of the body. While I was in the military, you know, I would go through certain situations and the idea was, hey, suck it up, drive on, or tune it out.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that by being in a society that's very productive, you know, even glorifying busyness, there's some of that element of tuning things out, like, oh, I got to suck it up and drive on. Mind-body connection is basically tuning in. Just take a moment and, oh, I'm not feeling so well. And just sort of go through, you know, like a little mental checklist and scanning the body and, oh, you know what? That's right. I'm allergic to XYZ and I was around this, so that's why I'm congested. Or, you know, it could be as simple as that, you know, and then we'll elaborate more, I'm sure, as we talk about having that connection.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So let's just give an example. So let's say that I have a feeling about something, my intuitive feeling about something, and I can feel that start to do something in my body. What are some steps that I can take to become more aware of that and become more sensitive?
So I love that you mentioned intuition. It's definitely a school of thought. And so some people are very firm and say, yes, I'm connected to my intuition. For some, maybe it's not their thing. And so what I like to sort of put it under this umbrella is, this is scientific. There is a common intelligent language that is constantly occurring between the brain and the systems of our body. And so it's not a language that we can hear, we can only feel it. And so when you are feeling something physiological by sensations in the body, I think this is where we can incorporate this idea of this kind of innate knowing that there's something deeper going on. And then that's where we can start to look at the tools of mind-body connection to perhaps either find acceptance in not knowing, or sometimes finding an answer as to the reason why we're feeling a certain way.
Wow. And we're going to dive into the tools in just a minute, but like the acceptance of not knowing is such a thing for
it's
me.
It's just as important because we want to know. Sometimes just knowing, even if it's, say, for an example, an illness, when you can label it something, then now you've got something that you can research, right?
Yeah.
When you don't know, there's uncertainty, and uncertainty really, it breeds fear and anxiety. And
of course, because we have this inherent need to know everything, right? Like I know that I do.
I do and I don't, because I've learned at certain points that part of not knowing is also part of faith and just sort of this mystical thing that, okay, sure, I have to trust the timing of things. There's something much larger than me that is a driving force. So
absolutely. So I guess let's just get this question out of the way really quick, because there's a lot of busy people in the world, right? And maybe I'm already going to like a yoga class twice a week or whatever, but why should I focus specifically on this when I have so many other things to do?
That's a great question. So do you feel like you're living life fully by being busy and doing all these things?
Are you asking me specifically?
Yeah. Anyone who will listen to me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the short answer is no, I don't. And I think that it's because I have this curiosity to explore things like we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, yes, I'm living my life and I'm happy and, you know, I go about my day to day and all that stuff. But I want to have a deeper understanding of all this. So because of that, I think stuff like this is, personally, I think it's critical.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. So why do we want to do this kind of work when we already have so much to do?
Yeah.
It really is bringing everything to life fully. You're feeling, you're connecting, you're noticing, you're actively choosing, hey, what the heck am I doing? So it's like an example, just responding and not droning your way through life as it gets served up to you on this heaping plate of glorified busyness. So the idea is not saying that, oh, when you're down and out, like, oh, let me just try to make myself feel better and put a blanket over my negative feelings. But you're really wanting to uplift positive vibes, thoughts, expressions, and things that, like I had mentioned earlier, that suddenly we can start to believe in things that were completely unimaginable for us.
I like that a lot. What are some ways that we can start this connection? Like, let's say I want to like finish this episode and do my first thing. What are some things I can do?
Yeah. So let's get connected right now, right? So,
yes.
One of my things that I touched on in the last podcast was mirror talk. for some, that's kind of uncomfortable. And so I started to think, how can I still incorporate the mirror and use it to connect? And so I thought about this concept, and this has been around for a while, and it's eye gazing. And most people do it with another person, but you can actually do this in the mirror with yourself.
Interesting.
And so just sitting in front of the mirror and gazing upon your own eyes. One analogy that I like to use, and I heard this from one of my swamis, and he mentions that when you approach a mirror, whether it's real or, you know, metaphorical, it's usually covered in a layer of dust, which is the mind being inundated with thoughts.
Oh, wow.
And so perfect. When you go to look upon your mirror, it's dusty, it's dirty, and you're wanting to get a clearer vision of yourself. So you go and you maybe spray a solution on it, and you just start to wipe in a circular motion. And that dust or that filth, it usually starts to smear in all directions, and the reflection can sometimes become worse before it gets clear. And that's clarity, and your truest reflection can be revealed. So what are things that we use for solution? For me, I like to use affirmation. It can be easy as "you're okay" or "I love you." Eventually you'll start to believe that. So that's a way of connecting with yourself. And
we talked about this last time, like the whole, the "I love you" part, because
I love you.
It's like, cause I've done this work before, and it sounds like it's super easy. Like anyone listening right now is like, oh yeah, I can totally walk in front of a mirror and say, "I love you," and like really mean it and feel it. I promise you that once you do it the first time, you have this, like, your body tenses up and you're just like, I don't know why I can't say this to myself. It's crazy.
It is so crazy. I've been there. And
I love this idea so much. In fact, I don't know if you've ever heard of someone named Lisa Nichols, but she's this amazing author in the personal development space. And she actually takes what we're talking about, and she has the affirmations that you can use. And they're amazing. And I'm going to interject here and share them because I think that they're super useful.
Great.
She talks about, so you should do each of these things 7 times. And the first thing is you should say, "I'm Sean" or "Kimmy," or say your name in the mirror and say, "I am proud of you for," and, or "I'm so proud that's you." And you can go back as far as you have to, you know, dig into the archives, but find 7 things and do this every day. And they can be the same 7 things every day, or they can be different things every day. But these are the 7 things that "I am proud of you for," or that "I am proud that you." And what you're doing is you're slowly building up your confidence, because you're saying all these things that you've done and that you've accomplished. The next thing is you say, "I forgive you for." So then you say 7 things that you forgive yourself for, and they can be things that you've done to another person, things that you've done to yourself. Super, super powerful stuff. And then the very last thing is you say, "I commit to you that." And basically what you're saying is, these are the things that I'm going to commit to going forward, whether it's, you know, working out every day, whether it's journaling, whether it's keeping, you know, so better self-talk, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. And if you do each of these 3 things and you come up with, you know, 7 different elements of them, oh, it's powerful, powerful stuff.
I love that. I mean, even just this idea of better self-talk, because we all have this inner critic. In fact, when you first started the podcast and you're telling me, oh, you're, you know, the second most popular podcast being listened to, in my mind, I already was like, oh gosh, I have this fear of becoming popular, right?
Yeah, I think so. We actually talked about that last time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I'll tell you the same thing. I mean, honestly, like, putting myself out there with this podcast, I mean, I'm putting a huge element of, like, me into this, right? And so,
you're so great.
There's a fear, though, that comes with that of, like, there's going to be people out there listening. And what's really cool is there's people actually all over the world at this point listening. And I just feel like I've learned to turn that into something that just, I feel so proud of that, because I think that what, you know, we're doing right now and what my ultimate goal is with this show is to just really spread these kind of messages across the globe for anyone that, you know, wants to hear them or needs to hear them. And I think that has to be first and foremost, like, what you think about. The second that negative self-talk comes up, or that fear or that shame or whatever of, like, oh, why am I doing this? Why me? What do I have to offer? You have to really work past that, and you have to believe that, like, your last episode, I think, has done so well because we had so much authenticity in there in our conversation, right?
Yeah. No, so. I agree. Well, and just going back real quick, and I know we'll move on to the other ways in which we can do mind-body connection, but I think it's important to mention for you and I being these advocates of reminding people, gosh, you're amazing, you're unique, and you have purpose, and, you know, follow your dreams, is you and I are not immune to having this inner critic voice pop up.
Absolutely.
On our frequency. And so that's why these things are consistent or tools that we have in our basket that we revisit. You have to do it.
I think sometimes it's very easy to surrender to those negative thoughts and kind of get lost in them. And that's when, you know, you can lead to things like depression. And I don't want to spend this going off on a tangent on those sort of things, but I think it's an important conversation at the same time. And I think that it's something that a lot of people experience. And what's very interesting to me is, so Brené Brown, who I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes, I love her.
She talks a lot about all this stuff, right? And it's one of those, like, shame is one of those things that we never talk about, but that's like her main topic that she lectures and writes about. And so many guests that come on my show say that, like, she is an author or a book that they've read that really has helped them. And so I think that alone speaks to the fact that, like, okay, cool, maybe we should be having this conversation more.
Absolutely. Well, and I think it's fine to, hey, this is how I feel. Another teacher I've heard is, maybe if people don't like necessarily labeling it in those terms, is, oh, it's misguided energy. The whole idea with mind-body connection is, okay, I've got this emotional reaction. Kind of want to know why, so I can increase this awareness, so I can then guide my mental state to a positive place.
That is the whole intention behind what I think is this movement that so much of mankind is experiencing toward a different type of self-awareness. And it's not an ego-based self-awareness where we want to, I don't know, it's not an ego-based self-awareness. I want to learn how to be a better human being.
Yes.
And treat people better and have better relationships and more enriching relationships and have more enriching lives. And this is how we do it. It's becoming aware and it's doing these processes.
And in order to do that, you have to start with yourself.
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen. So,
all right. So we talked about mirror talk, which is good stuff.
Yes. So another thing I do, meditate. In fact, a lot of people probably meditate and they don't even realize it. Meditation really just spurs from this idea of concentrating, like the single focus on something that you're doing. Now, more disciplined or a way of creating a habit is to basically pick a point, whether it's, you know, one time a day, two times a day, typically either in the morning or the evening. You sit down, you breathe, and you listen.
And that's it?
That's it.
Wow.
I know.
I thought it was so complicated.
I think a lot of people think it's complicated. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy every time. It sounds very simple. Again, not easy, especially when you've been maybe submerged in an extremely productive day and you haven't had time to connect with how you're feeling, how your body feels, and you got to slow down.
So let's talk about meditation really quick. And we actually have a really special treat at the end of this episode. You're going to walk us through a guided meditation, which I'm super excited about.
Me too.
But I want to talk about whether or not you think there's an appropriate time during the day to meditate. Like, I try to do it in the morning. If I do it before bed, I will fall asleep during that meditation. And maybe that's okay. I don't know. But I want to talk too about, is there a way to do it in the middle of the day? Because I feel sometimes we get wrapped up in this chaos that is our daily experience, and maybe like stopping to meditate would be a great thing, but maybe it's not even possible because we're so caught up in our minds at that time that slowing down midway through the day is just impossible for some people. What is your take on that?
Sure. I think typically prescribed, you want to give yourself a little time, anywhere between 5 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
The thing is that yes, we have life to engage upon. So to hit the pause button and do meditation, I would say, sure, if you feel that the, you know, wheels in your mind are spinning and you're on that hamster wheel and you're not thinking straight, take some time to meditate. But prescribed, I think it's sort of best to roll out of bed, use the restroom, go sit down, sit, breathe. And then what happens is you're in this state of clarity, or I should say you can be in this state of clarity, then you get up and you begin your day. So I like to think of it as you get up in the morning, typically you shower and groom, whatever the case may be, for your body. And so meditation is grooming for your mind.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. So that's so profound because it's true. We take care of all the other surfacey things, but like taking care of yourself should be the first thing that you do.
Absolutely.
All right. So we've got mirror talk, meditation. What's the third one?
Movement.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So it's not top secret, right? It's an industry.
it is.
You know, so many different things. You can go to an amazing gym. You can have a yoga membership. The things that I like about going to those type of environments is there's like-minded people around, so you can really get a hit off their energy.
Absolutely.
But not always necessary. You know, I've been known to turn on a song and, you know, dance with my whole heart in my living room. So I think it's about just getting all the energy moving in your body. And I think most people can attest to, you know, getting the endorphins going, the happy hormones. And
absolutely. I think for me personally, I find that it's a mixture. I like to go to the gym, you know, once in a while, take a class somewhere. But I think I also like to just get outside and be in nature. Like I love to go hiking. And that's kind of my thing. And so I think that it doesn't mean that you have to like go to the gym and run on a treadmill for an hour every day, because some people just hate that, right? So it's about finding what you like and what works for you.
Absolutely. And I agree. Getting out in nature is definitely one of my favorite things to do as well.
Yeah. Amazing. Cool. All right. So we've got mirror talk, meditation, movement. What's next?
This is a little spread or spin-off from movement, and that's yoga. I mean, I teach yoga, so I mean, I do that with my whole heart. Yoga really, it's defined as to yoke or to unite the mind with body and spirit. And so the asana, it's ancient. The breath, I mean, it's always with you. And so as you go through the postures, mindfully breathing, connecting with your inner strength, there's just that natural connection that occurs oftentimes. And I referred to this earlier, that intelligent language going on that you can't hear, you have the opportunity to really feel it while moving through yoga.
What do you think it is about yoga that has become so popular? Because I mean, it's, I feel, and we touched upon this a bit in your last episode, but it's really just, it's something that like doesn't go away. You see all these different health fads kind of coming in and out. And then yoga is like the one constant that just people, it really resonates with so many people.
Yeah. Well, there's so many flavors.
Yeah.
So what's awesome is I think most people will find a style of yoga that resonates with them. What I like to say is yoga is different than other types of movement, because you can get a physical workout, but ultimately you can also get a work in.
Oh, I like it. I see where you're going with that.
Uh-huh. So it's inner and outer work. I mean, multitasking at its best.
Yeah. And I think what's cool too is typically, unless you're doing it like by yourself at home, you are, to your point, around like-minded people that are exuding a similar energy.
Yes.
And there has to be something profound about that too.
Absolutely.
All right. So the next one on the list I saw and I was like, what is this?
Oh gosh, I know what it is. I haven't read this anywhere, but I have done it and I was completely sober, just for the record. Hand gazing.
Interesting. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so you had mentioned, oh, I don't like to meditate necessarily in the evening because I'm tired. I might fall asleep. So
yeah.
I've actually been in bed and have a little, you know, light next to my bed on a nightstand. And I've held my hands up and just kind of gazed at them. I mean, they're these amazing tools. They really do so much for us. And I want to also say it's not just just the hands. I mean, if there's another, you know, you want to look at your forearm or your foot, but I use my hands, and I don't know. I just, it kind of amazes me. There's this point where I feel like there's this disembodiment during the day. My hands are doing all this stuff. And then to just take a moment and just gratitude, the writing, the cooking, the affection, the creating that my hands are able to provide for me.
Okay, so this is crazy. Have you ever heard of this thing called the MIR method, M-I-R method?
I have not.
Okay, so it's a friend of mine basically introduced me to it, and it's this method. It's this woman, and I'll put it in the show notes, and I'm not going to be able to clearly articulate everything, but she basically, she walks you through a series of affirmations and things that you say while you are touching different parts of your hands. And so you're really just kind of like caressing your hands and like touching your hands. And it's not a sexual thing at all. It's very much like it's meant to heal. Mm-hmm. And what's really fascinating is that the things that she has you say while you're doing this, and that's literally all you're doing. There's just like these really powerful affirmations about like your past, about your present, about your future. And there's been studies of people that it's very similar. It's along the lines of like the tapping method.
Yes.
EFT. You know, have you heard of that, where you touch different pressure points on your body while you say things? It's kind of in that vein, but it's really powerful stuff. I'm going to put the link in the show notes because I think that it's something that people should, if they want to, check out.
Yeah. I want to interject a little bit because I'm curious, and I was having a conversation with a girlfriend of mine. You know, the hands, traditional Chinese medicine, also an Indian system, there are meridians or nadis that run through each finger. And so whether it's associated with an organ in the body, also each finger is associated with an emotion. And so if you're feeling like, oh, I have a lot of grief and sadness, I know her teacher had prescribed to clasp with the opposite hand one of her thumbs and just kind of squeeze it and hug it and repeating an affirmation.
Yes. I think this is very much in that vein. It's like very, very similar type of work.
Hands are pretty darn amazing. So
I'm so glad you brought this up today, because honestly, aside from this other method that I heard about a while back, I never give this any thought. And I think that like this is the kind of stuff that can be powerful to people, because it's the little things that you never think about that could potentially make a huge difference, right? Like people go to acupuncture. There's different, you know, pressure points in your body that are proven to, you know, stimulate certain things or heal certain things. So why would some of those not be found in your hands?
Right. Well, and one last thing on this before we move on is, you know, I also don't want to be, excluding a population, because I know that, you know, we are very grateful to have our hands, but there are other body parts too, you know, the feet and whatnot. Yeah. So touch point, self-massage, definitely healing, connecting.
Of course. Thank you for referencing that. All right. So let's do a little recap before we move on. So we've got mirror talk, meditation, movement, yoga, hand gazing. And what's the next one?
Laughing.
Oh, I love it. My favorite.
Me too. You know, of course, I'm usually laughing with somebody else, but it's not always the case. Here we go. This is one of my deepest, darkest secrets I'm about ready to share here.
Oh, I love it. That's live. I love when I get to have like the Barbara Walters Oprah moment.
Right. So I wouldn't necessarily label myself as being a Pinterest person. In fact, I have gotten pretty good at the few things I've tried, and I'm good at Pinterest fails.
You need to meet my mom. My mom has like a ridiculous amount of followers on Pinterest.
But there is a folder or a section on Pinterest, and it's called humor. And when I need a little hit of laughter, I go to Pinterest humor, and you know, it doesn't fail. And so that's, you know, that's one way of just getting a quick dose, at least for me. Laughing, you know, it's the deep belly laughs and energetically connected to the body, you know, your belly is your power source. And in yoga, I talk about this a lot. According to the Indian energetic system or the chakras, your third chakra, your solar plexus, power source. And so it's kind of like re-energizing, you know, life can be very serious. Just take pause and, you know, lighten up.
I could not agree with you more. And I'm actually really glad that you suggested one of your tools, because I sometimes think I love to laugh. And obviously, like, there's certain people that I will intentionally spend time around in order to laugh more, because they just, they bring that out in me. But sometimes you don't have that connection to those people in that moment. And my thought is like, oh, cool, I'm just going to watch a movie that I, you know, that makes me laugh. And then sometimes even that movie can't pull me out of that state. So I love the idea that, you know, you've got like your Pinterest board of funny things, and like maybe any other ideas that you might be able to pass along?
I mean, Facebook.
Oh my. So that's a whole nother interesting thing. Like, I, Facebook during political season, let me tell you, the laughter abounds.
Right. Why so serious, everybody? Why so serious?
Seriously, I love it. Facebook and Pinterest, that's your laughter source.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real talk.
Amazing. All right. So we've got one final tip. What is it?
Okay, so I don't even know if this is a real thing, but what's real? Right. So there's something that I like to do. I call it the senses game. And so this brings you very much into the present moment. And you utilize all the senses that are available to you to experience the environment.
Wow. So, I'm actually like getting the chills thinking about this right now, because I never have... I love anything that brings you into the moment, mm-hmm. because we're so rarely in it. We're usually looking at a screen. So I love stuff like this. Let's dive in deeper.
Yeah. So what I like to do in yoga is I actually take away the sense of externally seeing. So I have people close their eyes. Perfect. And then they use proprioception, this method of identifying the position of where they're at in the room by not seeing, but sensing. And then I ask them to pick up on all the noises that they hear. Notice the temperature on their skin. Notice if they can pick up on any smells. And so, yeah, you can do this really anywhere.
I would even say that you can do it. And I know we're going to go into a meditation in a minute, and there's a lot of people that are probably driving to work right now, and obviously don't close your eyes or necessarily do this meditation while you're driving.
Yes.
But I do think that there's something powerful to eliminating one of your senses. And obviously the easiest, most obvious one is to close your eyes.
Yes.
And when you do that, like it immediately, your other senses become more alive.
More attuned, more alive. Absolutely. Yeah. I love it.
And it brings you into the moment, which is, again, something that I think more of us need.
I agree.
Amazing. So Kimmy, what are some of the benefits of doing all this work?
Well, let me ask you this. So what if I told you that there was a way that you could reduce stress, anxiety, depression, insomnia, obesity, you know, all that misguided energy? You can strengthen your immune system and really open possibilities to healing your body, in which all of those feelings, or in this day and age, conditions have expressed themselves in the form of your body. And it's not a pill. It costs less than most therapy sessions, as well as long-term prescriptions. So the benefit of mind-body connection really is, and we touched on this earlier, is increasing awareness so that you can make healthy choices to guide your mental state into these places of positivity instead of, you know, things that are more destructive. It's different than therapy. You know, people will have therapists. I always say we don't get through any of this on our own. And the thing is about mind-body coaches is they've gone through, you know, a series of trainings and they know all the tools. And basically they help your mind meet a higher level of peace and calm, which is already there. So it's guiding you back to yourself. Typically, it can mean deconstructing old patterns or stories or beliefs and then creating new habits. So the work can be done by a client. It's not just, you know, a session where you talk about your story. The story is important, but it's, hey, okay, I know your story. Now let's take some accountable action towards yourself. Here are some tools. How can you find a teacher like this? I think it's when the person is ready, the coach arrives or the teacher arrives. And just like how anybody would would choose somebody to help them. I mean, you got it. You know, vibes. You know, you were talking about this early, intuition. Usually you can feel it out.
Totally.
Oh, I like this person's bedside manner, or, you know, maybe reading about their biography and you resonate with their story on how they have overcome certain challenges in their lives.
So much good stuff there. I think definitely whether it's a therapist or someone along these lines, you should always like ask them to have a conversation with you over the phone and kind of see, you know, or at least a trial session before you start to pay them to see what that vibe is going to be like. And anyone that won't do that for you maybe isn't worth your time.
Right. Yeah. No, I think most of them would do consults. I know for me, I do a 20-minute complimentary consult with my clients.
And I love what you say too about seeking help. And I think it's interesting because we ask our friends. There's sometimes a stigma around therapy or even someone like a coach or whatever. But we talk to our friends who typically, and I love everyone in my life, but usually our friends aren't really qualified to be giving us like real professional advice, but we kind of do anyway as friends. Mm-hmm. Why not seek out someone who has spent time learning about this and really has the ability to coach you or walk you through something? I mean, I can't emphasize enough the importance of things like, I do believe in therapy. I do believe in, you know, coaches and the hiring
mentors.
People.
Yeah.
Mentors. Yeah, absolutely. Anyone that can guide you to where you want to be is going to be an asset.
Absolutely. Well, and here's what I look at as far as my friends, which I love and adore. And I do, I tell them all my, you know, deep, dark secrets and whatnot. But if you can remember back, like even with say mom and you're, oh, I feel like this and blah, blah, blah. The first, I think, natural human reaction, and this is not a bad thing, is they love you so much. They just want to see you get out of that state.
Absolutely.
So it's, okay, let's cover it. Let's put a Band-Aid on it so you can feel better.
Totally.
And I think, you know, the idea with these mind-body coaches is let's dig a little bit deeper here. I know it's going to be uncomfortable at first, but there's usually a feeling, and then there's a feeling underneath that. And we got to get to what's underneath to really make those state changes, these mental mind state changes.
Absolutely, 100% agree. I also think there's something about the accountability piece in there too that you mentioned. I personally, and again, neither of us are doctors. I mean, obviously you want to consult, you know, professionals before you move forward with any of this. But
yes,
I feel like I personally would only want to work with someone who wanted me to be accountable for things. Because while therapy is great, it can often be endlessly self-indulgent and you're just kind of, you know, reliving past memories and past heartaches and whatever. And maybe there's, you know, a level of necessity to that, but I think there definitely needs to come a point where you move on and take accountability for where you are right now.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't have said it better.
Cool. So we agree.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So much good stuff today, Kimmy. I'm super excited that you came on and shared this. I think you gave us some very helpful tips. And I think if people actually go and take action on this, their lives will change. You are going to walk us through a guided meditation.
Yes.
And I'm super excited about this. I will also say that what I'm going to do for people is the guided meditation is going to be part of the podcast. Obviously, we're going to go into it in just a second, but I'm also going to edit it down and I'm going to make just the guided meditation available as a separate download on my website that you can come to, and you can use that whenever you want without the rest of the podcast.
Fantastic. And I know that within my bio on your podcast, there's links. So even on my Yoga Trip Insight, we have a couple of audio meditations available. So,
oh, awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely link to all of
them. We have an abundance of meditations for people.
I love it. I love it. All right. So can you talk a little bit about this meditation and what we should expect to or intend to get out of it?
Absolutely. So the title of this meditation is just going to be Relax and Renew. So I'm just going to guide everybody through their bodies, focusing, because we have to have a focus point or a concentration point, that's meditating, is focusing on the breath.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So is this something that someone could do maybe while they're driving to work, or do you recommend laying down, having your eyes closed, that sort of thing?
I do recommend not engaging in anything else other than the meditation itself.
Okay.
Because when it does, it becomes multitasking. Now, if people needed a quick reset while they're driving, because sometimes what happens is you get into the car and you're all up in your head, and next thing you know, you're have arrived at point B and you don't know how you got there.
Totally.
Is just taking a couple deep, you know, doing some breathing exercises while you're driving.
Yes, I love it. So if you're listening to this on the way to work, maybe if you have like 5 minutes before you actually have to, like, after you park and you can head up to your office or whatever, maybe you could do this to kind of recharge before you start your day.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, Kimmy Dawn, guide us. I'm going to be doing this with you. I'm really excited.
Wonderful. Okay, so I want to invite you to come to a comfortable seat, whether that's already in a chair, or if you want to sit down on the ground, maybe cross-legged, maybe even having your back supported by the wall. Once you arrive in a comfortable seat, place your hands on your body so that they're relaxed. Typically, this is palms down. Close your eyes and just take a moment and draw your attention to how you're naturally breathing. Some qualities that you might notice about your natural breath. This is the breath that often feels like a whisper, and yet it's keeping you alive throughout the day. Is how deep or how shallow are you breathing? Can you notice how the breath is entering your body? What's the entry point? Can you feel the breath leaving your body? Does your inhale and the length of your exhale match, or are they different? Even notice if you're holding your breath. Take a moment and draw your attention right to the top of your head. And then for the next few breaths, I want you to just start to scan and make your way all the way down your body, noticing how you feel, if there's any tension or habitual holding or tightness. And just see if you can start to relax. We tend to hold a lot of tension around the neck and the shoulders, as well as the lower back, and also in the hip flexors around the hips from sitting. Now, I'm going to walk you through some guided breath work. So I want you to go ahead and seal your lips closed and exhale all the air out of your nose. And pause on the bottom, staying empty here. We're going to inhale for a count of three. So inhale now, one, two, three. Hold your breath right at the top. Soften your shoulders, soften your jaw. And now open your mouth and let your breath go, kind of like you're fogging up a mirror. Pause at the bottom, stay empty. When we're empty, typically it's the best place to receive. So let's receive breath. Inhale, one, two, three. Now hit the pause button and hold it. And open your mouth and let it go for three, two, one. Pausing for the last time here. Inhale, one into your lower belly, two into your ribs, three all the way up into your chest and throat. Hold it, sit a little taller, relax your shoulders. And open your mouth and audibly let it go. Three, two, one. Seal your lips closed and take a nice deep inhale, filling up the chambers, the center of your body. Now, take the breath back out through your nose, as if you're still fogging that mirror in front of you. You're simply going to sit here and you're going to breathe, concentrating on the point in which the air enters through the nose and the point in which the air exits the nose. Noticing the sensations, the breath sweeping past the top lip, entering both nostrils evenly, and making its way down to lower belly. And same thing as it exits out, feeling that rush, maybe warmer air as it exits the body. I'm going to leave you in silence for a couple of cycles of this breathing, just so that you can notice there's thoughts entering the mind, there's feelings, discomfort in the body. You're going to stay here and cultivate patience and just focus on your breath. Perhaps some thoughts have come in, maybe even repetitive thoughts. This is normal, so it's not a point to get upset or scold yourself, tell yourself that you shouldn't be thinking. The process is just to simply notice what comes in. You take the thought. If it's not conducive to what you're doing now, you just set it on the shelf. You'll come back to it. This act of breathing in and out through the nose, scientifically, as the breath comes in through the nose, passes over olfactory gland. Brain then sends a message to the central nervous system, tells it to calm down. As you continue to breathe, maybe even noticing the body starting to become a little bit more relaxed as you're still keeping your posture alert. Three more rounds of breath here. And then with your eyes still closed, I want you to feel a little bit more substantial in your environment. Without opening your eyes, I want you to see yourself sitting in the position that you chose. I want you to visualize things that are around you. And then draw your attention right back to the top of your head and do that scanning method as you make your way down, checking in different areas of your body. Before we conclude this meditation, take a moment and just notice how you feel. Now, the concentrated way of breathing, you can let that go. Start to incorporate your natural state of breath. Maybe even take a moment and notice if there's any changes in your natural state of breath when you first started and now where we're ending. In time, you can very slowly just start to blink the eyes open halfway, gazing past the tip of your nose, and then just start to bring some movement, maybe by rolling your palms upward towards the sky and taking your thumbs and brushing them over your fingertips, starting to shrug the shoulders up towards the ears, deepening your breath, and then slowly opening your eyes fully. And so that's going to conclude our mini renew and restore meditation.
Kimmy, that was amazing.
Thank you.
Oh my God, so good. Thank you. All right, Kimmy, thank you again so much. And like I said, there'll be a special version of this meditation that you can download on the website in the show notes if you go to thinkoutsidethelines.com/podcast. Also, I wanted you to please remind us again how we can connect with you on the web, Kimmy.
Yes. Thank you again so much for having me. So, you can connect with me online at www.yogatrippin, that's yogatrippin.net, as well as Facebook and kimmydon.com.
Perfect. And of course, I'll have links to all of those in the show notes.
Thank you, dear.
Kimmy, you're amazing. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot from you in the future. You're welcome to come back anytime you have something new to share with us. I would love to have you.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. I feel equally honored to be here and Of course. I think you're amazing too. So thank you.
All right. I want to thank Kimmy for joining me again today. And you can find the links for everything we talked about in the show notes, which can be found over at thinkoutsidethelines.com/podcast. If you're enjoying the show, I would love if you'd head over to iTunes and click subscribe. And while you're there, if you could take a moment to leave a quick review, it helps my show out a lot. Now, until next time, go out there and pursue your passion today, because the best way to predict the future is to create it. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com. We'll be right back.